In this breakneck COVID-19 news cycle, we're sure you've asked yourself, how long will this pandemic last? And ultimately, what will stop it? To better understand the long-term outlook and the trade-offs inherent in the strategy of social distancing, we spoke with Michael Minna. He's an assistant professor of epidemiology at Harvard, specializing in immunology and infectious disease. His research focuses on the life history of infectious pathogens. We began by discussing what's called herd immunity. It's when enough people in a population have been exposed to a virus and survived, or who have been vaccinated, so that their immunity acts like a firebreak to prevent the virus spread.
So if you walk into a room, for example, and everyone is susceptible to a virus, and you bring that virus in, then there's no herd immunity, and on average, you'll infect two or three people. But if 90% of the room is immune already, then it's unlikely that when you walk into that room, you'll infect more than one person, because most of the people you bump into will already be immune.
Do you think this virus, COVID-19, is susceptible to herd immunity eventually?
Absolutely. That's one of the great things about herd immunity, is that as long as people can individually become immune to the virus, then herd immunity is possible. And for this particular virus, it's about 65% of the population might need to be immune before we actually can really inhibit further spread of the virus.
How important is it then for some percentage of folks, maybe younger, healthier folks, to become infected in the service of establishing group or societal resistance to COVID-19, this herd immunity?
That's a very good and somewhat controversial question. Essentially, a different way to put it is, could we just get lots of younger people infected with this virus so that they can no longer necessarily transmit it? And because we know that younger people maybe don't have as severe disease as older people, that would be a benefit. The problem there is we know that actually younger people can still get very sick and can die. But I think that there are some takeaways that we could get from that idea. And, you know, one small slice of that question might be, well, if we know that there is a number of young people who have already been infected and are immune, then maybe they can be the ones who are the nurses for people in a nursing home, for example. But I think it is a controversial idea to just say that all young people should go out and get infected in order to confer greater herd immunity, because we know that it still is a dangerous virus, even for the young people in this population.
Which makes me wonder, does that mean that when people go into quarantine, either on orders or by themselves, are we lessening the opportunity for a herd immunity to develop?
That's absolutely correct, and it's one of the real dilemmas we find ourselves in today. I've been astounded to see just how much social distancing is happening, at least in some of our states and cities. And this is really terrific. This is what is needed at this moment in time to prevent sort of a collapse of the healthcare system, if you will, in terms of the hospitals getting overridden with people. But the problem with doing such a good job right now is that we might come out of this wave of the epidemic with less than 2% of the population infected. And as a population, we'll be as susceptible, say, come the fall, as we were a few months ago.
So that's the balance we have to strike right now. We have to quarantine, we have to protect ourselves, and we have to set aside the goal of creating herd immunity to protect a greater number of the population?
That's exactly correct. And it's because this virus came into our population pretty quickly, and then we kind of squandered a couple of months in figuring out how to deal with it. And now we're trying to catch up, if you will, to really control some of our essential services, like ensuring that we have enough ICU beds and ventilators for all the people who might need them. We just are trying to buy some time so that we can deal with it more appropriately in a more prepared way, maybe in a few months from now.
Professor, let me ask about a vaccine. What we've heard is that it might take a year and a half to get to a vaccine. Do you think that's possible?
12 to 15 months has been a time frame that's been passed around as a minimum that it could take to develop a vaccine and bring it to market. But there's a big caveat there. That 12 to 15 month time frame assumes that the vaccine actually works and protects us. But that's actually really the hard part here, is finding the right combination of things to put in the vaccine to make sure that it elicits a good amount of immunological protection. And so it could be that 12 months from now, we're starting back at ground zero with a new trial.
So then you think 12 or 15 months is very optimistic?
I think that 12 to 15 months is probably not the most realistic time frame. I anticipate that it will be quite a bit longer, if ever. And it's important to remember that we don't have any useful vaccines currently for many of the seasonal viruses that we see every year.
Dr. Michael Mina, Assistant Professor of Epidemiology at Harvard, specializing in immunology and infectious diseases, thank you so very much for explaining all this. Thanks for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition.
Thanks for having me.